QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, net control for the Tech Tuesday net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz, offset of 600 kilohertz, and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting, and permitting that the repeater is working, which it is. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club and me. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. But before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KO6Q. No, only announcement is evidently all this has come to an end, all this trouble we've had up here in Big Bear, and evidently what Harold was just saying, that'll be the end of that. So, all right, well, let's move ahead here. For Tech Tuesday, let's see. Tonight, we're going to deal with the February issue of QST, and we're going to look at, let's see, page 51, neat little article about putting up a dipole wire antenna. If you're a general class or above, probably you need something like that. Anyway, pretty cool, got a neat little article, got some stresses and weights of the copper and versus copper clad steel. So, cute little article, good information. Packed with stuff. We never have enough time to discuss all the stuff. And next thing you know, I think we've got another QST coming this week. So we'll be looking at the March issue. All right, well anyway, we will start with roster. Excuse me here, let's see, starting with WB6CLZ, Mike.
Evening, Tom and Annette. This is WB6CLZ Mobile, just passing Community Market.
Well, you're getting there pretty close to home. And if you want to check in, Cindy, KWB6CIN, Cindy.
Good evening, Tom. This is WB6CIN.
Glad to hear you both out there, up here, traveling, mobile, back to your house. So I'm sure you'll be there plenty of time there, Mike. All right, next, see if he's out there, KA6CIA, George. And I guess George didn't sneak out to the garage. All right, moving on down to, let's see, quick call to KI6SKN, Chris. Not hearing Chris out there. How about KJ6HCS Mike? And we don't hear Mike out there. How about WA6ITC Rod? Nothing heard from Rod. How about KJ6FIL Mike?
Nothing accounted for. KJ6FIL.
Well, Mike, I think you're going to have to switch back over to a wet noodle because if you have that Yagi pointed up here, it might burn it up. Hi, hi. All right, let's see who else we have out here. Going down the list, KJ6KDL, Jim.
KJ6KDL here with
KDK.
Good evening, Jim. Rosemary, glad to have you out there. And Jim, if you're not busy after the net, give me a Verizon. Did some cool computer repair stuff here I wanted to talk to you about. It worked. Anyway, next moving on down here to KI6IQA, Kelly. And nothing heard. How about K9AOG, Steve? Sound Nothing Heard, K6GVL, Ron.
Good evening, Tom and Annette. This is K6GVL, and I can hear the Big Bear repeater in Green Valley Lake as well as the Mexicans.
Yeah, sorry about that part. Wish we could do something about that. Maybe we need to send all these sheriffs down. Oh, no, let's see. I say, well, you can send them on another mission. All right. Glad to have you out there. Hopefully you can get us over the top of that one. So thanks for being out there, Ron. Appreciate it. Checking in from Green Valley. A good, strong signal out there. 86PL, Harold, Riverside.
Good evening, 86PL.
And good evening, Harold. Good to hear you out there this evening. Let's see if Clint's there. I know he's been a really busy guy. K6LCS. And nothing heard out there from Clint. How about KJ6PYV, Dave?
Good evening, Tom and the Net. KJ6PYV, checking in from Sugar Loaf.
Well, good evening, Dave. Glad to have you out there. I think we're competing with the State of the Union, but we already know what state it's in. It's in a bad state. All right. Don't need to waste an hour and a half listening about that. W6JLM Judith, are you out there with W6KMM Ken? They're probably glued to the TV. Let's see. Moving on down here to, let's see if we can get K6YNW Chris. All right, nothing from Chris. How about W6POO? Pooh. Yeah, W6Pooh. But we call him Chip.
Well, I've had all kinds of names. This is Whiskey 6, Papa Oscar Oscar, W6POO. Good evening. You be here.
Good evening there, Chipper. Glad to have you out there, and I know you can hear us good, so great for that. Let's see if we have K2BBL Allen from Moonridge. And I don't hear Allen out there. How about Ron, WA6HF? Nobody there. How about KD6LAN Bill? We have to round these guys all up again. All right, now they're probably watching the news, and I don't believe them. All right, how about WA6DLB Donna?
This is WA6DLB, and no, I'm not watching the news, but I really feel sorry for that guy. Man without hope. So, those of us...
Yeah, well, he kind of... dug his grave, as we say. All right, Donna, glad to have you out there, and thanks for listening up this evening. Next, don't know if he's out there. I know he's been really busy. Let's try KJ6QYN Shelley. Nothing heard. See if we can get Rick out there from Corona, Cypress, La Cunha. No, he's got a lot of different cities there. NQ7RD, Rick. Alrighty, and no Rick out there this evening. Let's see, moving on to page 2 here, let's try AE6CK Victor.
Good evening, Tom and the group. This is Alpha Echo 6 Charlie Kilo, and I understand you have a good time today, right?
Oh yes, what a day. I've actually been busy working all day, but that's okay. I checked in on the news, and it's been a busy day for the mountains, that's for sure. Glad to hear you out there, Victor, and by golly, the receive, I think, is working better, too, because you're really strong into the repeater here. Next, I have KA6ROD Rod. Okay, nothing heard there. Let's try KB6LTY Christie. Yeah, nothing over there. How about W6JET, Rob? Yeah, nothing heard. How about KJ6RAY, Ray?
Good evening, Tom, and everybody in the net. KJ6RAY Mobile.
Well, good evening there, Ray, and hopefully, boy, you're really strong in here, in your mobile, and yeah, I think this is working a lot better for us, so glad to hear you out there. Well, I think that's got most of the people on my list here. I have a lot of other people to check in from time to time. Let's see who's out there this evening that wants to check in as a guest. Please come back to KF6Q.
KD6LAN from under the car.
Under the car, Bill. There you go. All right. Yeah, well, glad to have you out there, Bill. On top of the car, under the car, or in the car. Anybody else? Okay, somebody try to get in there, and I want to try one more time. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay, station out there, just barely getting you. It's the very first half second. Not sure what's wrong there. Might want to check, make sure your PL is set on and to 131.8 as just a guess. Anyway, no, you're not coming through there. Just coming through on our tail. So, anyway, anybody else out there like to check in? Alright, well, that's pretty much got it, and that's actually quite a few for a very busy news evening. And, like, one thing about news, I can't change it, so I can always check back in with that later, so. Well, anyway, let's check on Mike, who was scrambling down the highway, headed for his home QTH. Not sure if he's there yet, but he should be very close. Mike, are you back at the QTH? And if not, just let me know.
I'm in a nice warm cabin right now, sitting in front of a real radio. Yes, I am, Tom, and I don't have a DX report tonight, but I do have a propagation report, a simple one.
Well, good deal. Let's hear what's happening with the propagation there. That's good news. And by the way, like we were talking about earlier, anybody out there listening, in the February issue, there's a couple things on here about propagation and how they come up with some of these solar weather reports. Pretty cool. So, like I said, if you don't belong to the ARRL, please join. Please join through our club. Well, we get a couple extra shekels for that as trying to get you to join the ARL. You should. Good stuff here. And great, you get the magazine is worth the membership. So just a measly $39 a year. And of course they have better deals if you join for more than 1 year. Go ahead, Mike. Let's hear what's going on with solar weather.
Well, not much. A few days ago we had a pretty decent flare come through. And being that I have just gotten back from dinner, I don't have much information about it, but sunspot count, space weather is reporting a sunspot count of 60. None of those are actively flaring at this time, so nothing to get really excited about. And a solar flux index of 105 solar flux units. Haven't had time to do much DXing, but hopefully somebody out there will tell us of all the rare and unusual countries they've just worked. Back to you, Tom.
Okay, good deal there, Mike. Yeah, well, I think the guy you had dinner with probably would know more about that, but he never comes on this radio at night. So anyway, yeah, Lanny works a lot of DX there. Anybody out there with any DX they'd like to report or just talk about before we move ahead, please come back. All right, I guess not. All right, well, Mike, this is a pretty cool article. I know you emailed me this, and I've been looking through here. And we're talking about wire antennas, chunk of wire, and we're not going to tell you how long to cut it or for what it's supposed to do and all that. The main thing is how we keep the wire up in the air and not on the ground. Because actually, as we know, that if you pull the wire tighter, it'll be higher up in the middle, and you pull it tighter yet, it'll even be higher in the middle. always going to sag a little, but you can pull it really tight and then it'll snap. That's bad. Anyway, Mike, I've never had one break yet. Well, no, I take that back. I think I didn't have one break, so I can't say that. Anything that you've done, before we delve into the article, anything you have personally done that helps to keep antennas in the air and not come down?
I've been pretty fortunate about, I don't think I've ever had a wire antenna come down, but I've only really had decent wire antennas in the last 4 or 5 years, so that's not much of a brag. I have used before, if anybody is looking at the article, the figure 3 here, where it's got the tree with the little clothesline pulley and a counterweight. Well, I used a gallon container full of, I think it was water with a little bleach in it so it didn't stink and do all those nasty things. On a long wire that really wasn't that long, I think it was about 200 feet, down at my place in the city, and it kind of held tension on the antenna, and that way I didn't have that sag that we're discussing. So it worked out pretty well. I don't use that now anymore. I use the loop, and actually it just takes care of itself, thank goodness. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, actually what Mike was describing there, and I actually have the same thing deployed up here, except it's holding up my clothesline. Nothing like clothes hung out in the nice fresh mountain air, I'll guarantee you. And it's also cheaper. Anyway, air dried. The basic thing is if you have it in trees, whether you're in Big Bear or you're anywhere, you could be any place with trees, trees will move in the wind. And what can happen, depending on the size of the trees, they don't all move in synchronous motion with each other. It can be tugging on that wire until it snaps. If it's too tight, it can definitely snap. So there is a way around that, and that's what Mike was talking about. Let me reset here. And this is KF6Q with Tech Tuesday and the group. So, of course, the easiest way to guarantee that would be to tie one end off. Now keep in mind the antenna itself is usually not tied to the tree. We have insulators to kind of electrically insulate it out there because we don't want one end of our antenna tied to a tree. And why is that? That's because the tree is got water in it and it's a conductor and it starts to become part of the antenna and we don't want that. So anyway, with our support on one end, we can tie that off to a tree. Doing it proper so we don't damage the tree because you don't want it to die. That's your antenna support. Resetting. On the other end, though, we need it to give a little bit, but we want that tension. So a couple different ways here. Putting up there where you would normally attach the other tension wire, you would go through, instead of going to the tree, which you can do if you don't get a lot of wind, but if you do get a lot of wind, you can run it through a pulley so you direct that force downward. And Mike, I think you used a bucket with water. I used a bucket with rocks. Now, I don't know if the rocks weigh more than the water or the water weighs more than the rocks, but I do know this. I don't have to put bleach on my rocks. Mike, back to you real quick, and then we'll continue on.
I just think I have an affinity for rocks, and I use them for decorating, so they're worth a little bit more in my mental status than the water was, or something like that. I will tell you, though, that another way to do it is the loop down the hill. The two corners of the loop are connected to three bungees. One goes up to about a 50-foot juniper and kind of slopes down, and the other goes to about a 25, 30-foot pole and slopes down. And I have to do that because I have power lines that is a terrible thing to run an antenna under a power line. Don't ever do that at home. But I do run under power lines, and I run under some communication lines. So I have to have it a little bit of an angle. But you do what you have to do to make it work. And I'm just kind of seeing how long those bungees are going to last before the sun gets to them and rots them away. Luckily, back in that area, though, I park a boom truck. So when that happens, we'll just put it up in the air and take care of it. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, bungees work really good. And, of course, the only downside is, of course, that they will eventually go. You can use a metal screen door spring, but if you can find one, a lot of them don't even use a spring anymore. A lot of that stuff is pretty neat. A lot of ingenuity out there with hams over the years. And like I say, the counterweight part is pretty cool. The reason that the counterweight is really cool is that you can actually dial in how much tension. Whatever weight you put in that bucket, whether it's water, rocks, gold bars, or whatever, basically the weight of that pulling down is transferred directly to the antenna tension equally. And what you have is you can say, well, let's see, I need to have about 20 pounds tension. And you say, well, how do I know how much tension I'm going to have? Well, there you go. That's what we're another thing we're going to talk about, which we kind of skipped over. Mike, looking at this right here, they all actually have a nomograph. What is a nomograph?
Well, it is a graph-type operation, and I know that you're wanting me to tell you exactly what a technical name for it is, but I don't. But it's a graph used for determining different things. This one basically has span, tension. I don't know what work axis is, so that maybe you're going to fill me in on that. How much sag you're going to have on the antenna, and how much weight it's going to take to produce that.
Comment.
Well, that sounds like an evil comment. Go ahead, comment.
Well, they have another word for it. It's called a tensiometer. We used to use it in the Navy. I also have a question for net control.
Anyway, yeah, nomographs are actually used all the time in electronics. But anyway, yes, go ahead with the question for net control.
I bite my tongue, but I would like to hear more about putting, would you say bleach on your rocks?
No, I put rocks in my bucket. I have a bucket of rocks, or a bucket full of rocks. And that can be another story in itself. Mike likes to bleach his stuff, so I don't know about that. We'll have to look into that. Anyway, I think we've answered that question. Well, anyway, if you've ever seen one of these things, what it amounts to is like if you took a ruler, marked off little lines, vertical lines, you drew vertical lines on a piece of paper, and you put little marks on them, and essentially what you have there is a scale. And each one of these vertical lines is a scale. Now, you'll have who knows how many of these lines. And this one here, there's span and tension on one side. They're separate scales. Then on the right side, there is how much sag. That's the biggest problem Bill, KD6LAN, has out there in his later years is the sag. The weight also, which is right next to that. Now, with these things here, the work axis, Mike, and let me reset, is just a line with no scale. It's like a pivot point. So you say, well, I look up my tension on one side, and then I look over here on how much weight I have, and I can actually, by using this pivot point, I use that for my design. So once I have established a point on that work axis, the lines will cross there, and they have to cross there. But anyway, basically, you end up with a bunch of lines, and it's really simple. You can use a ruler with something like this, or a straight edge, and you can do some really quick, semi-accurate math. Probably not as accurate even as a slide rule, but the cool part is, it gives you something you can print out and just use there, and this is the way we did it in the olden days. Anyway, back to you, Mike.
Hey, well, I didn't do it that way in the olden days, but I can see how it would work. I just basically put my finger up in the air and see which way the wind's blowing. But this is a little more accurate. And Bill, the tensiometer that you used in the Navy, I think I saw one of those for the short period of time I was on the deck force.
Anyway, well, back to you, Tom, and let me see if there's anything in here that I see that pops out and is very interesting. Oh, you know what we forgot? We forgot to attribute this article to Joel Hallis, W1ZR. I know we've done a couple of his out of QST here. The guy's got quite a bit of knowledge, and he's a technical editor for QST. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, that's all pretty cool here. This, like I say, there's this wire chart, but essentially what it boils down to is that the longer the wire you have up there, and you got to start thinking like, okay, well, let's say I'm going to put up a 75-meter dipole. It's got to be about 120 feet long. So you say, well, let's see. If you put up copper wire that's 120 feet long, how much does that weigh? Well, that's different because we have on this nice, cool chart that he has printed out here how much it weighs for 10 pounds, number 10, number 12, number 14, 16, 18, and number 20. And, of course, Michael tells us as a registered electrician that we're not allowed to use anything smaller than number 14. But if nobody's watching and if you don't tell Mike, then he'll never know. Mike, what do you think the difference as far as copper clad steel versus hard drawn copper? Looks like the one can hold about over double the tension as the copper clad steel. Back to you, Mike.
Definitely not the stretch that hard drawn copper would have either. Your copper clad has a better, it better capabilities, I guess, for lack of a better word that I can't pull out of my old brain, than the hard-drawn copper. Now, if anybody's put up an antenna, I basically use stranded wire because I use regular electrical wire because I know where to get it, and I get it cheap. But you'll find that it's going to stretch a percentage, and probably the first 6 months or so you have the antenna up, it will stretch a little bit. Hard-drawn copper, not so much. Back to you, Tom.
Well, you know what I think as far as what we're going to be doing here, hard-drawn copper is what they use for electrical wire. And if it's not, we're going to pretend that it does and just lie about that. Now, basically, because I don't know where else you would find the copper like that, but essentially it's very easy to come by with basic electrical wiring. I actually have my HF dipole is actually speaker wire. Yes, speaker wire. I got this spool of speaker wire stranded, and it's probably about number 12. It might even be number 10. It's speaker wire for the big speakers in the trunk type speaker wire. And I found that, and I looked at that and said, you know what, this has got a kind of a clearish coating, but it's got a coating on it, and I can split this right down the middle because it wants to be split in the middle, and now I have twice as much wire. And I did the math, and actually it was cheaper for me to go that route than it was to buy the stranded electrical wire. So does it work? Yes, it's still up in the air. Is it working good for me? I just need to raise it up. I'm in some trees, and the trees have grown around it, and it's just a mess, but it still works. Back to you, Mike.
Also, when we get back into antenna seminars, which I know we're going to this year, right, Tom? We've been threatening. I have a good model for a four-conductor flat cable, like you use in computers, for a great emergency antenna. They have it modeled for 40 meters, but with an antenna tuner, it'll do a lot more. But very simple to make, and I'm sure you have a lot of that laying around. If not, we know where to get the four-stranded flat cable and make use of that. So we've got another one in our arsenal to add to that, Tom. We just got to make it happen this year, this summer, when it warms up.
Very cool. And since I'm kind of buried in computer stuff, literally here, the four-stranded flat cable, I don't see any here. Explain to me, Ricky, what is it used for normally? I mean, in the computer world that you've got me at a loss here.
Well, I'll have to go back and dig that article up and find out. They make it sound like it's just as common as toenails or something like that. But, yeah, I didn't know that. They made it sound like it was just very easy to get. So I'm sure if I read the article a little bit, we'll be able to come up with that answer.
Well, you know what? We've got a guy who works with computer gear all the time, or at least he says he does, but I think he just drives between branches. And those aren't tree branches, those are bank branches. Jim, are you still out there? KJ6KDL.
Roger, what are we talking about? I just stepped out of the room and walked back.
Well, not a problem. Mike's talking about, and he had an article on making antennas out of four-conductor flat computer cable, but are they possibly talking about telephone line? Because I don't remember ever seeing any four-conductor flat computer cable. So maybe you have, maybe you know more about that than I do.
Yeah, they must be talking about phone wires. I've seen some flat cable that have been used for interconnects for serial interfaces. They don't handle a lot of bandwidth, so they wouldn't be used for actual network data communications, and they're usually 8-wire, but you only use the 4 wires. So it'd be round. Category 3 is still round, so they must be talking about something that you would use for an RG11 type connection, probably.
Comment.
Yeah, Harold, 1 second, I'll get right to your comment. You know, Jim, maybe they might miss the part of the article where you took the Category 3 cable that's round and you ran over it back and forth with your boom truck. Maybe that's what you had to do first. All right, anyway. That's probably what it is. All right, Harold, go ahead.
I ribbon cable. That's, matter of fact, if you pry the lid off your radio, you'll see some of it in there. It comes in, I think, 4, 6, 8, and I'm not sure. I've seen some stuff in catalogs that is really wide, but I don't know how wide. It's not very large wire in it, but they use it in interconnectors in the boards in your radio a lot of times, the 86PL.
Oh, good point there. And you know what, Jim, if you're still listening out there, like the old parallel or even the floppy drive, all that cable stuff that's flat, of course, I've never seen any of it. They're always already made up, and so they're in lengths of maybe, in fact, I think I ordered some special that were 2-foot-long ones. But I'm sure it does come in huge spools. Some of that stuff is 80-conductor. Believe it or not, on the second generation parallel ATA stuff, first generation 40 conductor. But anyway, yeah, and that's pretty wide. Well, I'm going to say it's about 2 inches wide, and you could probably slice that stuff up if you had a whole spool of it, but I imagine it's going to become, as the way things are going electronics, probably pretty cheap, because it's, you know, probably a lot of it out there and not as much a demand anymore. All the stuff is now serial interface, and it's gone to a whole different platform. So anyway, I'm going to throw it back to you, Mike. That's probably what they were talking about. Because we've, Mike, this is KF6Q, Tech Tuesday in the group.
Hey, Tom, KF6Q, WB6CL. Yeah, ribbon cable is what it is, and I think they refer to it as a computer cable. But, you know, my fingers are going a million miles a minute trying to find it here wherever I stashed it. But I will, and I'll send it to you. I know that ribbon cable was what it was called, but they made it sound like it was something related to computers. All you do, though, basically is peel the outside ones back to, I think it was 33 feet, whatever 40-meter resonance is. Put a little wire tie on it so it doesn't peel back anymore. Trim the two and make a hanger for the center out of the center, and use the other two as a feed line when you short them out to the other two. Anyway, you just hook it up like a dipole, and basically they've used 100 watts on it, so nothing you're going to use a lot of power with. But for the kind of work I do, I was really impressed with it for a portable antenna. Back to you, Tom.
Comment.
It was used majority, probably in computers, but actually in all phases of electronics, like Harold was saying, in radios, a lot of it's used there now. And a lot of other things you can do, too, with the old RG59 coax that's probably in a lot of surplus out there because nobody uses it anymore. Everybody's using RG6 for, like, satellite and cable and stuff. So probably there's a lot of RG59, which is 75 ohm, but who cares? We can make antennas on anything. Back to you, Harold, KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, and the group.
The electronic supply house has the stuff. You go online, you check electronic warehouse. I've seen it over there when I'm over there. Prize would have it. There's I have a thing from, I think it's out of World Radio. They use the TV Twinlead, made dual band antenna out of that, whatever length you want, however much you can afford to buy, I guess. And you can make like two different antennas out of one strip, and you can take little spacers and add another strip and make two more out of it. Works out really well. AD6PO.
And KF6Q here, Tech Tuesday and the group, every Tuesday that we can. Well, you know, and I think basically, Harold, Mike, and Jim, I think where we're headed with this is, you know what, there's a lot of different types of surplus wiring out there, or new wiring, that you can purchase, and with a little ingenuity, we can make an antenna out of it. Like I said, we can build an antenna out of anything, even a wet noodle. Sometimes they'll tune up. But, yeah, that's a cool thing. I know that there's – I like the old twin lead. Oh, Mike, didn't we use that for your J-pole, your roll-up J-pole? Basically 300 ohm, and that's pretty cool, an old TV antenna wire. You know what, that's going to disappear. You're going to see that disappear with all the different coaxes and RG6 and everything being used. You know, there'll be one day, you'll say, what was twin lead? You know, and you'll have to show your kids a picture. But anyway, with all that, there's tons of different things to use. And the main thing is just about every single one of them will work. So if you come across stuff like that, hey, check out yard sales. You see a yard sale, you see somebody who's got a pile of this or that, be creative, boy. You tell you what, there's a gold mine out there. Anyway, KF6Q and the group, any other questions or comments, please come back to KF6Q.
Hey, Tom, WA6HF, just wanted to check in. Was caught up in that other stuff that was going on.
Okay, good to hear you out there. Yeah, I think we had a lot of people out there watching the news broadcast, and really very important. Actually, about three of the networks felt that was the priority, and the other three are goofing off with some silly thing called the State of the Union. But, hey, that's their choice. Glad to have you out there, Ron. Anyway, Mike, any other comments about using just about whatever kind of wire you can and putting a bucket of rocks or a bucket of bleach water or bucket of sand. Hey, if you're close to the beach, you don't need rocks. You have sand.
Don't have too much sand where we're at. So the water and the bleach worked out okay. Rocks do just fine. I just don't ever have an excess of rocks. I seem to always need more. Maybe they keep spelling out of my head. I don't know. I did find a little more information on this, but not the website where they have the whole thing. I guess you start out with 50-foot piece of ribbon cable and work with it from there. So I'll get that and I'll email that to you, Tom, when I find it, and we can put it in our arsenal for antennas when we get back there. Back to you, Tom.
Well, good deal. Another little comment about the bucket, and this is like your old galvanized, you know, water bucket, about a gallon. Yeah, I think it's about a gallon and a half. No, it's probably a gallon. and put the rocks in the bucket. And of course up here we have freezing conditions. Yes, we do, in Big Bear. And what happened with all these rocks in this bucket, well, yes, it did get snow and water in there, and yes, it did freeze. Well, I know freezing water is very powerful, but the weight of the rocks was more powerful. So now my bucket is very, very round, like, kind of like about a half of a soccer ball on the bottom. It did stretch out. I don't think it's going to hold water. I think there's a crack or two in it, but that's okay, as long as I use it for rocks and very thick sand. It'll work fine. Anyway, KF6Q here in the group. Anybody else say anything before we get close to closing down Tech Tuesday?
KJ6RAY.
Yes, Ray, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question. What is the minimum height that you can mount your dipole height from the ground?
Well, you know what? That is a good question, and it depends on the frequency of the dipole. Let's just say 20 meters, which is about 14 megacycles and hertz and stuff. But anyway, 20 meters is ballpark the wavelength, and you optimally should be a quarter wave at least high. So a quarter of 20 would be 5. 5 meters is about 16 something feet. So if you're doing 20 meters, if you're 16 feet off the ground, that's a quarter wave, one quarter wave. Now, if you're going to go to the 75 meter band or 80 meter band, a quarter wave is 20 meters, which is very, very much a lot. Okay, that's like about, 66 feet, 67 feet. And sometimes you can't get the antenna up that high. It'll still work. That's its optimum. It works the best from there up. There's a lot of studies about that. There's a limit. You keep going up higher, it doesn't change anything. But if you're lower, it's okay. It becomes more omnidirectional. As it's lower, as it's higher, it acts like a dipole with a little null effect on the end. So other than that, so you're kind of open, but you don't want to have it like 2 or 3 feet off the ground or 6 feet off the ground. Back to you, Ray.
Okay, Tom, that's good. Yeah, by the way, you can put that bucket if you're going to use a twin lid. It might break your dipole.
Right, exactly. So anyway, there's a lot of good information. We do a lot through the air on antennas because it's one of the things that we can do, a hands-on project. It's a do-it-yourselfer thing, and a lot of cool, makeshift things we do with different things we use. So that's one thing we do talk a lot here about. So anyway, anybody else out there, anything to add or any questions, please come back.
AG6PL.
Yes, go ahead, Harold.
Don't forget Saturday, try to get some bounce off the asteroid as it comes in for landing. AG6PL.
Yeah, you know what? Even though that's pretty interesting, because I actually saw that on Space Weather. They have a cool little section about what's coming in. And number one, that's a very, very big asteroid. Number two, it's not supposed to hit, but it will be between the, our stationary orbit satellites, like DirecTV, DishTV, all the stationary weather satellites, which is, 22,000-something miles. It'll be lower than that. It'll be closer to us than they are. That's pretty close. That's a pretty close near miss, as they call it. I used to think if it got closer than between the moon and us, it was pretty close. But this is closer than our main communication satellites up there. So, yeah. I wonder if we're going to be able to see that thing as it goes over or not. I'm not really an astronomy guru, but it'd be kind of cool to see if we could see it. Of course, we don't know. It might be during the daytime when we're here. We wouldn't see it at all. Anyway, back to you, Harold.
Just Google it. Asteroid that, and they'll come up. There was an article in the Riverside paper about a week ago, and I think it's 17,500 miles or something like that from us, supposedly. But one of them already hit near over in Russia, so nobody thought that was going to happen. You never know, but it's something interesting. They had a really good article, if you can find it in the archives in Riverside Press, 86 PL.
Yeah, KF62 here, Tech Tuesday and a group. I remember seeing that and how big it was, and I remember, I'm thinking it's about, what was it, about 200 feet, I think, 200 feet, maybe 250 feet. I don't know if anybody else actually has the size of it, but that's pretty big. That would make one huge tsunami if it hit in the water. And if it hit on land, and either way, it would definitely make the news. It would definitely really mess up a lot of things for a while. That's a pretty big rock to be hitting the ground or the water. We don't really see stuff that big coming in. 250 feet, not 2 feet, not a speck. You can see one of those things go across the sky, and it'll look like it's huge, and it lights up. And that thing may only be about less than a half an inch in diameter. It's amazing how much they glow or spark or whatever they do. But, yeah, this is a big one, but it's not supposed to hit. And let's just hope it doesn't. We don't really need that right now. Anyway, anybody else out there? Anything, come back to KF62 and the group. All right, well, we'll stick around here a little bit after that. Mike, anything to add?
We just hope that that rock doesn't get, it has enough velocity to where it doesn't get caught in the gravitational field of the Earth, and we'll all be okay. Everybody have a great evening. Back to you, Tom.
Well, you know, that string of asteroids that actually was, I forget what it was part of, and it broke apart, and I'm thinking Shoemaker, Levy Shoemaker, or something like that. And a couple of places they hit Jupiter, which were like about the size of the Earth. They made a hole the size of the Earth. Very, very big impact. Anyway, but the year before, they had a near miss, and it broke them apart. The next year was da-da-da-da, or next time it passed. Not the next year. Next time it went, it made its loop around. So anyway, well, let's hope that the next time around it forgets where we are. Anyway. Good deal. All right, one last call for anything before we close Tech Tuesday. All right, glad to have everybody out there. Glad. Fun here, and always try to get a lot of cool information, even if we do kind of jump off course with our topics, but that's okay. That's what it's all about. Anyway, and hopefully we'll be right back here again next Tuesday, provided that asteroid does not hit. Well, maybe we'll be here anyway. Who cares whether it hits? All right, QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, net control for the Tech Tuesday net, and we'll be closing the net this evening at 1900 hours and 48 minutes. Everybody have a good evening out there. And if you have any marshmallows, it's too late. I think the fire is out over there in Seven Oaks. Talk to you later. KF6Q, returning the repeater back to normal use.